Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, playing this for a reason today. Do you know why?
Back in black?
Yeah. Why am I playing AC/DC?
No.
They announced a big tour today, North American tour, for the first time in, I guess, 11 years.
Wow.
AC/DC going on the road. She was a fast machine. But not here in St. Louis. they will be in Chicago. So the dates that have been announced so far would be, let's see here, Vancouver, British Columbia, Las Vegas on the 28th of April, April 30th in Detroit. I could play some more AC/DC, too, because yeah. I had Ethan.
You know what? I remember doing a back and forth on the cassette. I'd hit play and then stop and try to write down all the words for the fast machine. Yeah.
Detroit, Ford Field, Gillette Stadium in May, Pittsburgh, Landover, Maryland, Tampa, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, Chicago, Soldier Field, May 24th, Cleveland, Ohio on the 28th of May. And those are the only dates that they have about. They are doing the Rose Bowl as well. I might have missed a couple here, but no St. Louis. And I don't know if they're going to expand the list of cities or not. Not clear. But that has been one of those long anticipated tours. I've never seen AC/DC.
I haven't either.
I remember they came to the Checker Dome in the early 80s, but never get to see them. And the difference on this tour, too, is Brian Johnson's apparently going to be with them. And Brian Johnson had hearing loss and hasn't been with the band in a long time. Axl Rose was out there, you know, with AC/DC for a long time.
Yeah, that's
doing
a no
stuff.
Thank you.
Well, I know, right?
You know what seems odd about that is if they're not coming to St. Louis, you know, years ago, a decade ago or so ago, you'd say, oh, man, I'm going to miss them. Now, it's nothing for people just to go wherever they're going.
That's true.
And see them.
Yeah, it is going to be one of those, you know, destination tours, I think, for a lot of people that have been waiting for this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to any. Wouldn't be one that I would prioritize. I'd love, if they were coming here, I'd go for sure.
Yeah,
there's
I
no
understand
doubt.
That.
Then the problem is the other place that I'd like to see them, April, what was the date in Las Vegas that I gave? It's the night before we leave for Greece. I told Rick, my friend in Las Vegas, he might go to see them the week before at the Rose Bowl because that would be a little bit more.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Right. Fred, back from the Cayman Islands, we understand that you drove on the right side of the road. Is that true?
Well, actually, I think it's the left side
of the road. The left side of the road,
because
right. Sorry.
It's a British territory. So everything is British there, rule and everything. And so, yeah, you drive on the left side of the road. Now, the cars were both ways. The steering wheel was for some was on the left and for some was on the right.
See, that would be confusing.
We rented a car where the steering wheel is where it is on an American car.
You like that better?
I think that was better.
Okay.
I don't know. But it also has the British style of, I guess, road rules, which is really interesting, with very few stoplights, hardly any stop signs, but dozens and dozens of roundabouts.
Yeah, those roundabouts make me nuts.
Yeah, they say it's easier on the car. It's faster for traffic. It's better on the environment. So you just whip around these roundabouts
right,
and pray everyone knows what they're doing.
I would have no issue with whipping around a roundabout if I'm driving on the right side of the road and doing, you know, because I go through roundabouts
right.
on a regular basis here. But that would kind of throw you off. Did it bother you or did it even not even make a difference?
The couple times that I drove, Marie would sit next to me as my co-pilot and tell me which exit to get off
yeah.
at. And I got honked at a couple times.
Oh, did you?
Because I guess I slowed down too much.
Uh-huh.
But then for the rest of the trip, Shane and Noah went up into the front seat.
Fred got
and
demoted.
Together, you know, I was driving yeah. Mr. Daisy. I was
you got relegated.
Seat.
You got relegated,
that's right.
Fred.
And they did everything in record time without a problem.
Driving Mr. Daisy. I like yeah. that.
Now, did you do any Christmas before you left, or is Christmas set up in the
bottom
of the house?
We had it set up the day before, so once we got home, everything's ready
thought.
To go.
So we did a lot of that, too, before Thanksgiving, because the kids were going to be in town, and then we did more of the decorating last week. And then yesterday went out. I was given the authority to pick out a Christmas tree for the family.
Wow, that's interesting.
Not easy to find. And,
no.
you know, in all honesty, this may be a challenge for people. Fred, I was sharing some stories with you even before Thanksgiving. The flooding in North Carolina devastated
yeah.
some
yeah.
Fraser firs in particular, and I want a Fraser fir. So I went to the Lowe's because a lot of the Christmas tree lots aren't even open yet. And I went to this place on Manchester Road the last 2 years. And 2 years ago, spent way, way too much on a Fraser fir, but it was awesome. The thing sucked water down until like January 15th.
Wow.
I'm slightly exaggerating.
Okay.
But I mean, it didn't dry out the whole holidays, right? So then last year we went back, paid the same damn amount, and that tree was dry by week two. So I didn't want to go back and pop a bunch of money down. You know, I would have if the tree was good, but it wasn't good last year. So I went to Lowe's. And there's snow all over the trees yesterday. They didn't have a lot of trees. I took a shot at one that already had like the netting on it. And it hadn't fallen, so you don't really quite know. Pro tip, ladies and gentlemen. When you have a rabbit that has free roam of your house, they like to eat the branches of the Christmas tree.
Oh,
so I had a pretty good looking tree that now kind of looks like that one from Charlie Brown that has like maybe a couple of little branches.
Oh, are you serious?
No, he hasn't eaten that much. But I mean,
the needles or
no,
the,
just,
what is
he
it?
Just slices through the branch. He does the same thing to cables like iPhone charging cords, but they're not on the ground anymore. We've lifted those up. But I mean, he just chews out the branch.
Heck out of
so
anything.
It keeps the bottom of the Christmas tree keeps rising, is what I'm telling you. It's like we got a lot of room for presents under there.
Oh my gosh.
And it's going to be real easy to water the tree because there's no branches down below.
Does he chew the cords, though, of the lights? That's not
yes.
good.
So we put up the two fake Christmas trees. They had beautiful lights on them. By day two, the lights had gone away because he had. So that's interesting you mentioned that because I went to Lowe's today and I got new white lights and I'm going to try to bunny proof them. I don't know if I'm going to do it with duct tape. Tape or
just
whatever.
Start halfway up the tree.
Well, he just likes, it's just the little, I don't know what it is about the little tiny cords, just like these little branches. His teeth go right through them.
Wow.
Right? Now, the listeners might argue at this point, Mark, you're an idiot for having a rabbit running around yeah. your house free roam.
One may wonder about
yes,
that.
But I do love my bunny.
Yeah.
Emotional support. He got a little nervous around the family. Like, he didn't come out as much as,
oh.
you know, he would when
That's
the kids were here.
A lot of people.
It
He's
was.
Not used to that.
He was a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Oreo was. So
He's
I had
a
to,
bunny.
I had to guide him through all that. Let's do this for a Monday. What do you say? Well, that's the wrong one. See, I'm out of practice. Damn it. Hey, let's do this for a Monday.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I thought we would start with a little music. And this one is 52 years ago today. In 1972, the Temptations hit number one with this song. Now, I also have to tell you, this is the longest intro I've possibly ever encountered, so we had to cut it down.
Really?
Wait, this isn't it. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. It was like a minute and a half.
Yeah, it is a long
intro.
It's
like forever, and I thought, maybe I've hit the instrumental version. Then I thought, oh, no, this is just the intro.
No, you hit the full version, but not the radio edit. I'm guessing the radio edit didn't start the same way, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Never heard
nothing but bad.
Do you notice that it's the first words where it was the 3rd of December?
Yes.
So we're just a day off.
We're one day
yeah.
off. Yeah, it did hit number one in 1972.
Papa was a rolling stone.
Sounded good.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
It just sounds so damn good.
Right?
Listen to harmonies, right? Good stuff there.
So good. And then it's difficult for anybody, any of us, with the exception of Ethan in this room, to understand how huge of a deal this was. 41 years ago today, in 1983, Michael Jackson's Thriller video debuted on MTV. And it was 13 or so minutes. John Landis directed this thing.
It was a mini film.
It was huge. And it's 41 years ago today.
How long did you say it was? Like 13 minutes, the original was?
Yeah, the video is almost 14 minutes.
So I actually just, the last 2 years now, I have watched this on Halloween night.
And have
I'm just,
you?
First off, like, no one pays attention to music videos anymore. They still come out, but no one cares. This has to be, right, arguably the most famous music video of all time.
I agree.
Sorry, I had to hit the post there.
Go for it.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was a cultural moment, right?
It really was.
You know, we had never really seen things like that before. And it was such a new dawn of the video age. Anyway, I still kind of watch videos. If there's a band that I like and I don't know much about them, I don't know what they look like or anything, and the song comes out, I'll sometimes, my daughter and I do this. We'll watch YouTube videos of bands and just see what they're doing. But you're right. A lot of that has kind of, we've lost the interest in
but
that.
But like, this is like the length of how a lot of his were. Wasn't Bad like over 30 minutes long or something? Some of his were crazy long music videos.
One of the great ones he did was Smooth Criminal. Oh, man, that's a good one if you ever see it.
I like this one when it gets to the Vincent Price
narration.
That's really good.
Oh, that's when they start coming out of the cemetery. Yeah. It's spooky. That's not bad for 41 years ago. What also I read today, though, was that Landis had to sue the Michael Jackson estate to get paid for that. He had, in 2009, he went for it, and he doesn't think that it's Michael's fault. He thinks that, you know, the production company, or whatever company was involved with it, he was supposed to split the profits from Thriller the video and didn't get enough, and he won, and he got his money.
Was that post-death, 2009?
I think it might have been.
What year did he die?
But,
now you're taxing our memories.
Yeah, I can't remember that. You're going to have to look that up and tell me. Okay, this story came down over the weekend, and it just made me think about it.
When did you say that was?
2009.
He died June 25th, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That's when,
It's interesting.
I guess he waited till he passed away, and then because he didn't think it was his fault. Like, it was against his estate. In what is believed to be an act of Russian sabotage, two internet cables at the bottom of the Baltic Sea were damaged.
I heard about this.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Now, there is a 730-mile cable that runs underwater between Germany and Finland that they think was sabotaged. And apparently, when you think about it, there are 745,000 miles of what is called subsea cables carrying the internet to different countries worldwide.
You know, we talked about these cables probably a year ago, Fred. I don't know if you remember, because I was unaware that they even existed.
Right. Me too.
And there was something that had come up between, you know, the UK and here, and I don't remember what the specifics of the story is, but that's fascinating. And then I saw that story last week.
Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah, we need to get George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet on
maybe
tomorrow to talk about that.
It's very interesting. Well, NATO says, there was an article in Business Insider where NATO says about $10 trillion in financial transactions flow through these cables daily.
Wow.
I mean, it's worldwide, and if you look at a map of it, it'll really freak you out.
Well, this is going to affect Fred's offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands, clearly.
That's right.
Terrible
That's right.
timing.
Well, it is terrible timing. I don't know what to do about it. All right, in sports, it's the first day of, it's the first work day of December, so we always do what's coming up in the month. College football bowl games start on the 14th. We've got the, by the way, on Christmas, it's the Steelers-Chiefs on Christmas Day and the Ravens-Texans.
If we can watch it on Netflix.
All on Netflix.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that at the beginning of the year, Chiefs-Steelers would have been a good game?
That could be a big game. It really could.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
I can't wait.
By the way, who would have thought Russell Wilson's going to be on deck for a big contract after this year?
I mean, he's got to be the favorite for comeback player of the year, right?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
The Bills game was fun to watch last night. I like all games
with
snow.
Yes, with the snow.
Now, in theaters, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and the live-action prequel Mufasa, The Lion King, open December 20th. Christmas Day, they've got Baby Girl with Nicole Kidman and Timothée Chalamet playing Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown.
That is a movie that our Well, my friend and our friend Steve Butts, his brother Norbert, we've talked about him. He was the original Fiero in Wicked. He plays Bob Dylan's mentor in that. He's currently starring as Coach Bill Belichick in the Aaron Hernandez story. But Norbert's been racking up some great roles here lately.
Yeah that's going to be exciting. On TV, holiday specials, we've got National Christmas Tree Lighting December 20th. Jamie Foxx's new stand-up special hits Netflix on Tuesday. And season two of Squid Game is coming out on the 26th.
Do want to mention, on a sports note, we'll talk about this with Cusumano. Ethan, I'm sure you saw this today, but after the regular season ended on Saturday for the University of Missouri, they will be heading to a bowl, but Luther Burden III, and it seems like just yesterday, I met him right in this hallway with Demetrius Johnson, who sadly passed away a couple years ago. Demetrius Johnson will be so damn proud right now of Luther Burden III, his final game at Mizzou, because he's going to the NFL. He's going to be a first round, probably top 20 pick in the draft.
I've got something for tomorrow that we'll talk about because it's supposed to be an earworm eraser. So if you get something stuck in your head today or tomorrow, we're going to play something that's supposed to remove it for you. But I want to bring you up to date today on just, Hollywood stuff. Did you know Eddie Murphy's son Eric and Martin Lawrence's daughter Jasmine are a thing? They got engaged over the weekend.
That's kind of fun.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
They've been dating since July of 2021.
That'd be a fun wedding.
Wouldn't it? Oh, you should see the thing on Instagram. Was it over the top? Oh, I can't even. What?
Oh, really?
I mean, that's just surreal. They rent rooms and put flowers everywhere, and there's lighting, and then people film the whole thing.
Is it one of those things you look at and you're like, yeah, I just feel poor?
Right. And also, I don't ever want that. But that's just me.
That's another part of it, right?
I'm like, what are you doing?
I'd like to think if I had money that was that stupid that I wouldn't do stupid things with
it, right?
Ugh. I don't know. Yeah. I'll never really have to confront that issue.
No, I'm
pretty confident.
Join the club. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Let's do this. All right. A chemist, which isn't surprising, named William Mitchell is credited as the key inventor behind Pop Rocks, Tang, and Cool Whip. All three things are chemically based. And that's it for Sue's News.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I like that. There you go. We'll go out with a little AC/DC. The tour is starting. I think I might have missed the start of the tour in Minneapolis, Minnesota, U.S. Bank Stadium, April 10th, Arlington, Texas, the Rose Bowl, and beyond. No St. Louis State.
You know, there's struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of sleuths on the internet, and someone has put together, it's like, and I didn't realize it, I sent it to Ethan, my producer, to pull some of the audio. It's like a 9-minute supercut of things along these lines. It was a That Was Then moment with Joe Biden. Check it out.
I said I abide by the jury decision. I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Letting the world know that he will not wipe away the decision of 12 of his son's peers was asked directly, and he has said he wouldn't pardon his son if he gets convicted.
Let's wait and see what happens if he loses.
Yeah, but I mean, but he said it.
He said it. And that's just so, I sent this audio to Ethan, and he said, that's 9 minutes. What should I pull? I'm like, wow, I didn't know it was 9 minutes, but there's a lot there, isn't there?
The verdict, no matter what it is, and that he has ruled out pardoning his own son. Contrast that from what we hear from Donald Trump. And again, we have to underline, in no uncertain terms, President Biden saying, I will accept the outcome. I will just accept.
Well, that didn't age well. That's Willie Geist there. And then there's, of course, KJP.
From a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
President Biden says that he's not going to pardon his son, Hunter. Is he going to ask Donald Trump to do that?
I don't have anything else to share about that.
Well, she didn't like that. And then today.
Okay, I got two on the pardon.
You stick to foreign policy. If not, we'll go to somebody else.
I want to run out of time.
The president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes. He said he wrestled with this, and because he believes in the justice system. but he also believes that the war politics infected the process and led to a miscarriage of justice. This is his words.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Thank you, Kenny Wallace. That laugh was very necessary there. Our friend Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus from the University of Chicago, is with us to laugh along with everybody on this Monday. This is quite something. I guess realistically, though, we should not be surprised, Charles. This kind of fits a bit of a pattern if we're kind of doing a little, sixth sense view of this world. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I'm laughing along. I'm laughing along. I think the only one that's not laughing is the bunny in your basement.
Well, he's upstairs right now. He's got free roam upstairs. He's in the basement later. But thank you for paying attention.
Don't let him get near another bunny, right, or you'll have more than one.
Yeah. But well, look, this is just really, it's not, you know, the pardon itself is one thing, and we can address the pardon itself because we should talk about the crimes themselves, which really were almost let off because of the politics, not prosecuted more intensely. But the notion that this is still trying to be spun in some of the left-wing media world as, you know, he didn't really mean it or he's not lying. They're actually trying to parse the word lie right now.
Well, they're just toast. I mean, nobody is paying any attention to the legacy media anymore. The what's striking about the rationale, the public rationale that Biden gave, is that all of those things were true before he said those public statements. There's nothing that was new between the time he said, I won't pardon him, and had his press secretary come out and do that. By the way, if she had any integrity at all, she would have resigned. Right? I mean, there's no excuse for being sent out to lie repeatedly for the boss.
She seems to have no problem continuing to do it and cover his what on this on a regular basis.
Well, somebody's got to do it, and it's not a very pleasant job. I think the fact is he's in a race with James Buchanan for the worst presidency, and he's done a lot to clinch his status.
But, let's talk about that seriously, because that might sound like hyperbole to some people. But, I mentioned this earlier, Charles, and you spent many years in the classroom at the University of Chicago. What is the legacy? How will this be taught in the future as the legacy of this president? Because I don't know that it would be taught honestly, but there's no legacy left that's positive. I don't know how you can paint it as positive in any way, shape, or form at this point. Where was the success?
I go to a monthly lunch with a group of Democrats, and I would say that until about 6 months ago, they were raving about what a great president Biden was. I mean, they really think he fulfilled the Democratic agenda. And but I think that there are really serious questions that go beyond the fact that I think he really didn't accomplish anything. You see, the way I see it, the Democratic agenda, which is a progressive agenda, was laid out by Woodrow Wilson around 1900. It really began to be implemented by Franklin Roosevelt in the 1930s when he began putting together all these very big programs, which were ruled unconstitutional until he threatened to pack the Supreme Court. Once he did that, the Supreme Court bowed to his pressure in 1937. The next big step was Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society programs. And the only thing that was missing from this transformation of American governance was state-sponsored health care. And Barack Obama put that together.
Yep.
So he was consequential in that regard, and of course consequential as first African-American president. But I don't know. I think that beyond the fact that they had a person who, by the last 2 years of his presidency, was clearly cognitively impaired, I don't know what the agenda of Joe Biden really was, because I don't know what the Democratic Party's agenda is anymore.
Well, that's a valid question.
They've really done what they wanted to do.
Well, that's a valid question. Listen to James Carville on this topic.
The resistance is going to have trouble raising money. These fundraisers are burnt. They're really now. And the damage that the 2024 campaign has done, the damage that this decade has done to the Democratic brand is almost unfathomable.
By the way, Carville's out there saying, you got to audit everything. They spent, you know, $1 billion. Where did all the money go? Here's Charlemagne the God.
I just want Democrats to stop acting like they are on this moral high ground politically when they have shown us they're not, you know, whether it's skipping the primary process when Biden stepped down and things like Biden pardoning his son. Stop acting like y'all the pure party and Republicans aren't.
Do you think that they will listen to any of that advice, Charles?
Well, I think that the big battle will be over whether they move back to the center, in effect, go back to the policies that Bill Clinton is associated with, or continue to move in the direction that Barack Obama has moved the party over the last, you know, since he was elected, 2008. So I think that's the big choice. It's also the case that the party doesn't have any leadership now. I'm told that You know that the people who are in charge of spending the money for the party are actually only paid a percentage of the money they spend. And so I'm told that that they had people running ads in Florida where there were for the president,
right,
where there was just no
chance
he could win.
Right.
So I think that the audit will be – I think the big thing that your audience will be interested in is I think this gives a huge amount of cover to Donald Trump. How can they claim he's doing anything corrupt? How can they claim that he's going to say, I'm going to come in to clean out the stables. The stables are full of you-know-what, and I'm going to clean it out. And it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to stand up and say, no, he's not going to be able to do that, and we're not going to let him do that, because they've already been caught, essentially, in full-scale corruption.
Well,
by the way, I think that Joe Biden is going to have to pardon his brother, too.
He might have to pardon. And by the way, why wouldn't he at this point? Because how much more damage
exactly
can you do to yourself? But I do think that you're right about a lot of that. But let me kind of shift gears here before I let you go, Charles, and talk about the next administration and what could potentially happen there. We've been focusing a lot. I've been off for the last 10 days, but before the holiday, really anticipating, and I'm excited about the Department of Governmental Efficiency as someone who's wanted, you know, government to kind of take a turn back when it comes to bureaucracy and the level of federal spending. But how much hope do you have that Vivek and Elon can actually get something done that has an impact when it comes to reducing the size of government?
I would divide what they can do into a couple of baskets, and then there's a third basket they can't touch. Much of the money that the government spends is obligated to programs like Social Security,
right,
and interest on the debt. They can't touch that. But what they can touch are employment and regulations. But I would draw a distinction between the ones that President Trump can overturn with an executive order, and those that are going to require a law. And it's very important to pass as many as possible,
I agree,
with laws.
Yeah, because the next guy could come in and just overturn everything.
On immigration.
Yeah,
look
right
at what happened on immigration.
That's exactly
all
right.
All of Trump's stuff was done by executive order, and all of it was overturned by
undone
executive order.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's why it is important, and I hope that they can get some numbers. We'll talk with a member of Congress in the next hour, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, Jason Smith. Charles, anything that, you know, if I were to ask you this question before the holidays, and I think we spoke one time before that, I'd say, hey, what about this Matt Gaetz pick? Doesn't look so good. So that went away. We got a better pick for AG. I like most of the other picks. It seems like Pete Hegseth is hanging on. They've tried to take him out. Any other thoughts on some of the new picks in the cabinet from Donald Trump?
I think that the only reservation I have about Hegseth is that he has no managerial experience, and he's going to be heading the single largest employer on planet Earth. And it takes some management. He will have to have a lot of important, competent, loyal people under him. But what I would ask the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, if I can suggest one question,
yeah,
is how much of what Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to try to do, how much of that can be passed through reconciliation, which requires that it have a budgetary impact, but only requires a majority vote in the Senate, not a two-thirds vote. So that's going to be very important, to figure out ways to actually pass into law without being stopped by a filibuster.
Absolutely. Charles, always great to have you on. You helped us start the week, and I appreciate it. And you have a great December. We'll talk again, I'm sure, before Christmas.
It's great to talk to you, Mark. I always enjoy it.
Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. Let me just kind of piggyback on that just for a moment here and play. I don't know a lot about Kash Patel. You know, his name comes up, and he's the guy that's nominated to head the FBI. Here he is last week talking about his plans.
One of my biggest personal recommendations is you shut down the FBI headquarters building and open it up the next day as the Museum of the Deep State. And you send those 7,000 agents in the headquarters building downrange to chase down rapists, to chase down murderers, to chase down drug traffickers, and let the cops be cops on the streets across America. You keep a small contingent in Washington, D.C. That's step one. You get rid of half of the legion of lawyers and special counsels that exist within the FBI to do one thing, to corrupt and obstruct government oversight from constitutionally applicable committees in Congress. And another aspect of it real quick is one of the biggest institutions in the FBI that has been troubled and politicized and weaponized has been their intel component. We have an intel agency. I don't need it to be redone within the walls of the FBI. We've shown when we've given them that power, what they do to it.
Yeah, so that goes to the E part of DOGE, which is efficiency and duplication of some things. But look, I don't know that there's anything wrong with what he's saying there. And here's Trey Gowdy talking about Kash Patel. He loves him.
You would not know the foundation or the funding of the Steele dossier. You would not know about FISA abuse. You would not know about Fusion GPS had it not been for the hard work of a guy named Kash Patel. He is, quite candidly, the most unfairly maligned person that I worked with the entire 8 years I was in Washington.
Yeah, rave reviews from Trey Gowdy. We'll ask Congressman Smith. Jason's going to be with us in the next hour. He's the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. Some of those questions. We got Cusimano coming up on a Monday afternoon next. Monday afternoon, Frank Cusimano from Channel 5 with us to wrap up the week and the weekend of sports. And there is a whole heck of a lot of sports news, isn't there? How are you this afternoon, Mr. Frank Cusimano?
Doing well, sir. I hope you're doing well, Mark. Thank you.
I am. And, you know, I have to kind of think back to, I'm guessing it was 2021 when I was in the hallway just right down from where I sit right now. And Demetrius Johnson was here and I was friends with DJ. And he had this brand new player that we were all buzzing about, Luther Burden Jr. We were talking about him at the time, Luther Burden III. And, you know, DJ died in December of 2022. And he would be so damn proud of what's happened with Luther and his announcement today, Frank, that he's going to the NFL.
That is really nice of you to bring up Demetrius. I don't know if you know it. He and I were like best friends, and that's really beautiful that you thought about him, you know, on a special day for Luther. But you're right. He's up there in heaven thinking, you know, my guy, my boy is going to go to the NFL. And for the people who want to criticize Luther, let's remember 2,500 total yards, 25 touchdowns, nearly 200 catches. He's going to be a top 20 pick in the draft. And, you know, as Drink said, he changed the directory of his career, and he changed the whole program, because what he did was he let St. Louis five-star and four-star elite athletes know it's okay to go to Mizzou. You don't have to go to Texas. You don't have to go to USC. You can make $500,000 to $1 million in NIL, be a draft pick, win 20 games. You can do it by staying home. So I applaud Luther for it.
You know, and I feel, and I think maybe a lot of Mizzou fans might share this a little bit. Look, Frank, I'm a guy, like many of us, who lived through, you know, we survived Woody's wagon and years where this team wouldn't win three games, let alone just lose three games. And we have these expectations. We have a great season. That was an amazing game on Saturday. Nobody's talking about it because we're not in the CFP, unfortunately. It's just the way that it is. You know, if you were a year ago and you have 12 teams in a playoff, Mizzou's in, it's not a disappointing season in the end. They end up with a great record. But, you know, we feel deflated because of the new plan or the new playoff system.
Yeah, and you keep thinking, what if you got that stop against South Carolina with all the chaos in the SEC at the end of the season? Or maybe if you just play a little better second half against, like, Texas A&M. I mean, boy, just so close. But now, it's either going to be the Gator against Syracuse, the Las Vegas Bowl against USC, or maybe the Music City Bowl against Michigan, which I think is kind of sexy.
Well, again, you know, it's just that one. Again, that's what I said to a bunch of people, is that South Carolina game really kind of sticks with you. Not that they would have been an automatic with two losses, but obviously things got shaken up over the weekend, didn't they? And the Georgia game was just crazy, and I was ready for it to be over after three overtimes, but wow, that could have been a real game changer if they lose that.
Yeah, you're right. And all the last 2 weeks where you have Mississippi losing, so you had a lot of teams kind of drop out of contention if you just would have made a stop against South Carolina. Wow.
On the Mizzou front, before I move on, I did hear, you know, this is signing week, and he flipped a couple of guys, didn't he? Drink did?
He did. He got a running back that was headed to Kentucky. And the 11th hour last night, because National Signing Day is Wednesday, he got the four-star to flip to come to Mizzou. So that's pretty good work by him. And then he's expecting a pretty good class on Wednesday afternoon when National Signing Day can happen, including a 6'8" beast from Eureka, an offensive lineman, like, weighs 290, just a monster. So, yeah, things are looking good on the recruiting front. But the big thing is going to be, how do they attack the quarterback position in the portal? Do they have enough money to spend a couple of million to get that fifth-year, 24-year-old guy to come to Mizzou? And the portal opens up next Monday, too.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of landscape out there for these college coaches to explore. And I guess, are we writing off Sam Horn as an option at this point, or he's still going to be a potential quarterback, won't he?
Yeah, here's the thing with Horn, is that if he throws a baseball 96 miles an hour in the spring for the Mizzou baseball team, I don't think he'll come back. I think he'll get drafted and leave. But you never know what can happen.
Frank, the Blues have a new coach, don't they?
Yeah, it's a great hire. Jim Montgomery, it's 5 points in three games. It's like, you know, they were so uninteresting. There's no reason to watch them. All of a sudden, you sign this guy. And, Mark, there's the positivity. I sat him down on Friday after practice, and all the players were talking about it. And I talked about it with him, and he said it came from his mom, the positivity, that she just woke up every day, even when things weren't good for the family. And that's the way he is. He walked in that locker room and didn't see a below-average roster. He saw some guys with a lot of talent, and he pumps, you know, an infusion of energy there. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is they're about to embark on a four-game, seven-game road trip in Canada against teams with all better records than the Blues. So we'll see what can happen, but I do like the hire.
Anything on the Cardinals front that we should be talking about? The winter meetings are about to take place, right? There's some. I saw Blake Snell got a big deal with the Dodgers, so we've seen some free agent signings.
Yeah, isn't that, like, ridiculous? The
it
Dodgers
is.
Spent $182 more million dollars on Blake Snell, and they're supposedly going to get the best pitcher from Japan this offseason also. It's ridiculous. But in terms of the Cardinals, you know, there's three big names you have to think about, and Nolan Arenado, Ryan Helsley, and Sonny Gray. Do they move them? I think Helsley's the most likely. Arenado's going to be a tough guy to move because of the convoluted contract in Colorado and the Cardinals paying for part of it. But Helsley, I think, could yield you something. And, you know, look, you didn't make the playoffs with him last year. Why not try to get some assets in return?
I think, and Sonny Gray has indicated that he wants to stay, right?
He does, and I think it'd be tough trying to, you know, move his salary when, you know, I think the league has discovered he's a nice five-inning pitcher. But I don't know. If you could get assets back in return, I'd look long and hard there, too.
Absolutely. Frank, have a great week. We will talk on Friday afternoon, same time, same place.
Sounds good. Thank
All right.
you, sir.
Appreciate five. That's Frank Cusimano from KSDK. We still have one more hour to go here on 97.1 FM Talk. Brad Young, our legal analyst, he fills in for me and other hosts from time to time, is going to weigh in on the Hunter Biden issue. We still haven't gotten any new information on the Danny Penny case this afternoon, too. That went to closing arguments. And, you know, it's interesting, Sue, because Paul Morrow, and he said this earlier on the show, I've heard him on Fox talking about this potentially being best case scenario as a hung jury. That is shocking to me.
It is to me,
because
too.
If you look, there's nothing that I can see with this case. This is so baffling to me that this guy should not even be on trial. This should have never gotten to the level where it is right now. And they have, you know, his lawyers have released some interesting videos with witnesses in the immediate aftermath of this saying, all things that have been very consistent with the defense. You know, he didn't look like he was trying to choke him
nope.
to death. The guy came onto the subway car screaming at the top of his lungs, threatening people. People felt like their safety was in jeopardy. And you have this amazing juxtaposition today with the son of a sitting president who has committed lots of crimes, flagrantly violated IRS, didn't pay his taxes, gun laws, etc. Probably beyond that with the corruption. And this guy, who's a former Marine who tries to save some people on a subway car, is facing punishment. I'm going to have confidence in the jury on this one and hope that I'm right.